So I'm going to do a little run-up to Easter and the next several sermon series are going to be dealing with the activities as Christ heads towards the cross. And then, of course, Easter will be the exclamation point on the series. And today is a, This is going to be a little bit of a tough one as well, okay? So the message that is involved in these scriptures, they're tough, and this story is kind of like the prodigal son. You will reveal yourself in these scriptures, okay? So when you study the prodigal son, you kind of know who you are and what you're dealing with, depending on who you side with in that story, okay, and who really speaks to you. And this is kind of the same way. So this is, I entitled this Dinner at Bethany, all right? So I just want to give you, this is, of course, John 12. It's coming out of John 12. It's the first 11 verses in John 12. And John 11 is a very famous chapter. It has one of the greatest stories ever to be told, ever to be experienced, and that ever happened, and that is the raising of Lazarus. So that is a very famous chapter, and it's one that we study a lot. And this is a set of scriptures that kind of get overlooked a little bit. So just so you are aware, the previous chapter has been dedicated to Lazarus is sick, Jesus waits long enough for him to die, to be buried, and then he shows up on the scene, and then, you know, Martha comes to him, and Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, and then Mary comes to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, and then Jesus asks to be taken to the tomb, and they say he's got a stink by now, he's been in there 4 days, and he says, and he looks around, and the famous scripture, he wept, okay? And then they roll the stone away, and he calls him forth, all right? So that's the backstory there. And now we move into chapter 12. And you got to understand that this is the Saturday. Sunday will be the triumphal entry. Thursday will be the upper room. Friday will be the crucifixion. So we're on the countdown here. And we have Jesus, it says that then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus comes to Bethany, which is the town that Lazarus lives in. It says where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Okay, so as we turn the page of the chapter, this little town has become famous for what has happened with Jesus and Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And it says there, and if we look, and if we go back a little bit, we have to understand what was the reaction, what was the effect of Jesus raising Lazarus. And it tells us in the final verses of chapter 11, it says that there were many Jews who had come to Mary, all right, had come for whatever reason to comfort her, to, you know, some of them might have even been paid to go mourn because some of them were professional mourners and all that. And just for whatever reason, they went to Bethany, and it said that they had seen the things that Jesus did. Okay, so they witnessed all that happened in chapter 11, and they might have also witnessed something else that he did miraculously. And because of that, they believed in him. So they saw what happened. They saw that he brought Lazarus from the dead. And because of what has happened at the first 3/5 of chapter 11, they believe in Jesus. And it says that some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them of the things that Jesus did. So the word was getting spread. Okay, and so it gets back to the religious leaders there. And it says that the chief priests okay? So the ones who have a lot of power and have been there for a while, and they're the movers and the shakers in the Pharisees there. It says that the chief priests and all the Pharisees, they gather together and they hold a council meeting. All right, and what is the subject and topic of the council meeting? But what do we do with this guy named Jesus? Because he's disrupting everything. He's disrupting the process. And you know that the Jews are a kingdom inside of a kingdom. They are allowed to exist only because the Romans allow them to exist. All right, and it says there that they gathered their council, and this was what was being said. What shall we do? What do we do with this Jesus, okay? Because this man is the real deal. The things that he does, he's changing people. And they are starting to believe in him, and the tide is turning, okay? And it says there, if we let him alone, if we let him operate and keep continuing to do the things that he's going to do, then everyone will believe in him. Now you got to remember, they're saying it in negative, so this is a bad thing for them. Okay, so they're gathered around together because Jesus is doing such great work. Now they're trying to come up with some kind of plan to handle Jesus, because pretty soon everybody's going to believe in him because of these great things that he does. All right, and it says that, and now we're getting to the motives here and the reasons why. And it says because the Romans will come and take away our place in our nation. All right? So they can feel a revolution coming. And they only know the kind of revolutions that happened previously in history with military might. And they're coming to take over, okay, and disrupt the governmental things. All right? So you know by this whole action of the council that they don't understand Jesus. They have no idea who Jesus is. They're not interested in learning. All they're interested in doing is maintaining the status quo. And it says there that in one of them, Caiaphas, okay, who was the high priest. He had been elected that year the high priest. So they rotated those things out yearly. So he stands and he speaks, and he's telling them, you guys don't understand. Okay, you don't really know how to handle this. And here is the plan. So they come up with this plan. And I need you to understand that Caiaphas gets it. He understands what has to happen with Jesus, but he's operating on the other side of the coin. He's doing it for all the wrong reasons. And he says that, here's what we need to do. This one man, Jesus, should die for the people. And not just the whole nation, but for the people, so that we, the Jewish nation, will not perish. Now, what Caiaphas has just said is the Easter message. He has said it, but he's not saying it in a positive tone, all right? So unfortunately, and here's something that I really, really want you to hear this morning, why I've spent so much time on this point here, okay, is that sometimes, all right, now listen to me here, okay? Sometimes we get it. Sometimes we come to the truth, but because of who we are and because of the lens that we look through, and it can be colored through our selfishness, through our greed and our lusts, that we come to the truth, but we come to it for all the wrong reasons and way. Okay? And sometimes when you deal with people who you think should know better, they have come to the truth, but they've gotten there on the wrong path. And what we need to understand is that this can happen to anyone. These guys were highly, highly intelligent people. These guys were educated. These guys were experienced, and they had been nurtured and taught. But because of their greed and their selfishness, they have come to the truth in all the wrong ways. So actually, they've come to the truth, but they're blinded from seeing the truth. Okay? And it is at this point, from this day on, that they have plotted and put a plan together and stuff into action so that Jesus can go to the cross. Here's the deal. There's an old word that hardly ever gets used anymore. It's called providence. And that is when God says, this is going to happen. And the providence in this story is that Jesus Christ is going to the cross. He has been sent there, asked to go, he has accepted, and he has started the journey to the cross. And in this, right here, this is the final moment before he stands up and walks to, actually, physically walks to the cross. Okay? And there is God's providence. When he says things are going to happen, mark it down, put it in a bank, whatever phrase you want to use, it's going to happen. And here's what we have to understand, is are we going to be on the good side of the plan, or are we going to be used and get to the truth and be blinded from the truth so that we can never see the truth? In the same ways that these Pharisees. So there is the point. The first point is that we need to understand and come to the truth, but get there in the right way. All right? So here's the deal. This is a dinner at Bethany. And you know why there's a dinner at Bethany? It's a celebration. You know what they're celebrating? Now, I need you to hear this for one second. So if you tune me out, turn your hearing aid up or wake up, nudge the guy next to you and wake him up. All right, real quick. You know what they're celebrating? The resurrection. You hear that? They're celebrating the resurrection. You know who's celebrating? They're celebrating Lazarus. So his family, they want to thank Jesus. They want to thank him for bringing their brother back from the dead. They love him. They are so appreciative of what he has done. And they want to thank him. So they have invited him into their home. And they want to put on this dinner for him in honor of him. And you know, and now listen to me, do you know who the real guest of honor is? In this story, do you know who they're there kind of to see? Well, let's look here. It says that the Jews knew that he was there. And they came. So people are coming to the dinner. And you know why they're coming? Well, the Bible, this is not Aaron Phelps talking, it's the Bible. Not for Jesus' sake only. Yeah, they're coming to see the dude who can raise the dead, all right? But that's not really why they're coming. Do you know why they're coming? That they might also see Lazarus, who was dead and is now alive. So in the storyline, in the human terms, at this present moment, do you know who the guest of honor is? Lazarus. And they are having a dinner to celebrate the resurrection. And you know whose resurrection they're celebrating? Lazarus. Okay? And it says there, but the chief priests are still plotting, and they're plotting not only to kill Jesus, but also to kill Lazarus. Now, why do they want to kill this poor guy? I mean, hasn't he been through enough? And the answer to that is not in their eyes. And you say, well, why on earth would they want to kill a man? Just brought him back. He's already been dead. They just brought him back from the dead. Why do they want to put him back in the grave? Okay? And it says there that because of him, the Jews saw him. He represented what Jesus could do and the power of Jesus. And they were walking away from the Pharisees and they were believing in Jesus. And here is the actual effect of Lazarus, is that his living and breathing, I want you to hear this real quick, all right? His living and breathing is a representation of the power and glory of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this, and I know you're going to say, well, Jesus didn't bring me back from the dead, Aaron, okay? I get that, all right? But here's what I want to ask you, because I'm asking Aaron Page Phelps, isn't that a terrible name? Why would you give a boy Page for a middle name? My goodness. Like, might as well have called me Sue. All right? But I'm talking to me this morning, too. And here's what I'm asking myself. Does my living and breathing represent the power and glorification of Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that. I didn't get any amens on that one, did I? That's a tough one, isn't it, huh? That's a tough one to swallow there. Because we all have our bad days, all right? But ask yourself that. Because the very existence, now think about that. Think about that. The very existence of Lazarus was a glorification of Jesus Christ. Every breath he took, isn't that a song? Every breath he took was a glorification of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to insert another character here into this story as we move along in John 12 here. And it says there that they were making him supper. Okay, they were making Jesus supper. He was there. And there's this one little phrase here. And this is a powerful phrase. Okay? And this is going to hit home. It says that, and really, this is it on this part here. This is kind of all she gets here. And Martha served. That's not much, is it? Huh? And Martha served. So there's a dinner going on, and Martha served. And oh, by the way, okay, they're telling this story. Guess who was still there? Lazarus is there. And he sat at the table. And here's this guy who was dead for 4 days in the tomb. And now he's there. He's going to eat and drink and be merry. You understand? You understand the effect and the statement that says about Jesus Christ and who he is? And then tucked away in here is this one little phrase here, and Martha served. Well, if you look back, okay, they had him for dinner before. This is not the first time Jesus has been to their house to have dinner. And it says there that they went to a certain village, and there was a woman named Martha, brought Jesus into his house, and she had a sister named Mary, who was also sitting at Jesus' feet. And this was kind of controversial there, because women weren't really supposed to be students, and learning ain't for women in this time period, okay? So they weren't really supposed to be disciples and students. But here's Martha sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's taking it in, and she's like a student studying his words and dissecting it, okay? And the whole time she's doing this, Martha's in the kitchen mad, okay? I don't think Arianne's here this morning, but it's like when I know Arianne's mad by how soft or loud the cabinet doors get shut. Okay? And then sometimes when I'm trying to come home and I'll just be honest with you, sometimes I come home and it's like she's going to cook dinner. I don't have to help, you know? So I go do my thing and lay down for a minute or whatever, and I can hear the cabinets in there just slamming. You know, she's trying to wake me up and keep me up. So anyways, but that's what Martha was doing in this story as well. Okay? So she's in there mad. You know what she's mad about? Mary's not helping. Mary's in there sitting. She's lazy, sitting in there. And here's the come away with this, okay? Because she goes to Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister is lazy? Basically what she's saying, okay? And she's not back there to help me. And then we have this statement here from Jesus, all right? The takeaway usually here is he says, Martha, you're worried and troubled about a great many things, okay? And there's one thing needed, and Mary got it right, okay? And so what the takeaway here is that the most important thing is to learn from Jesus and become a disciple of Jesus as well, okay? That's true, right? So we're not going to tear up that lesson. So keep that there. But the point that I want to make is that this dinner is not going to happen unless Martha is there to serve, okay? And here's the deal. There are a lot of people who get to stand up with some spotlights on them, okay, and get to do their service here. But there's a lot of people, a whole bunch of more people, that do stuff that nobody ever knows and sees. And this church doesn't happen unless that happens, all right? And I'm thankful that you know, that we've got people. Like, I got a text this week from a young lady. Hey, I want to use I'm getting married. I want to use Star Church. I think it's beautiful. We've talked about some churches around in the area. We want to use Star Church, okay? And this is all I had to do was take that number, send it to, I don't want to embarrass her, but send it to Jan Rash and say, hey, this young lady wants to use Star Church for a wedding. There it is. That's all I had to do. And then about 20 hours later, I get a text, taken care of. Praise the Lord. Okay? And there's people like Jan Rash who does stuff like that, all right? And then there's people who do things, and I've called them out before, and they come to me afterwards and say, listen, I appreciate it, but don't call me out again. I don't really like to be mentioned. That's great. That's wonderful. All right? But there's things that have to get done. And here's the point I'm trying to make to you. Okay? We don't happen unless we got some Marthas. We need some people who will serve. And there's just that little phrase there. And Martha served. And listen, that's how Martha worshiped, is through her service. And we just will assume that she was there serving, and she didn't complain today at this dinner because she's got a whole new vision of who Jesus Christ is because of what happened with her brother. But we need some Marthas, and we need Marys too, don't get me wrong. But this stuff doesn't happen unless we have some Marthas. Amen? Okay, I got one there. You guys just kind of laughed. He didn't ever say amen. All right. And now we move on. Okay? That's all Martha got. She served. And then it says there that Mary took a pound of this very expensive oil, spikenard. Okay? Sounds expensive, doesn't it? Spikenard. This is from a root that is native to India. It's an oil that comes from a root native to India. And so this has been brought to this part of the world, in this oil, and it's very expensive, very expensive. And this was kind of a good way to have something valuable in the house, is because it didn't take up a whole big space and you could hide it. And if worse came to worse, you could trade that oil and you could get some money or get something that you needed from it. Okay, so people sometimes had this oil, and sometimes it was passed down through generations. You inherited this oil because it was so expensive. And here's Mary. Now you got to remember, I want to put you back in their shoes. Their brother was dead. Like, he's been to John Poor's place and buried dead, okay? That kind of dead. He was in the tomb, and now he is sitting at the table eating and drinking. And this is a celebration of his resurrection, and Jesus Christ has been invited there because he's the guy who brought him back. And she loved her brother. So as he's there, as Jesus is there eating, she takes this expensive oil and she starts to pour it on his feet. Now listen, in this day and age, it was customary to wash people's feet when they come in to eat, all right? And she was taking this expensive oil and pouring it on his feet and taking her hair and wiping it. And you ask, why would she do that? And the understanding here is that she loves Jesus Christ. She loves him so much that she takes the most expensive, the very best that she has and anoints the very lowest, if you can even say that about Jesus Christ, the very lowest of Jesus Christ, his feet. She poured on his head, which is what they generally did with oil of this kind. They put it on their head. But she puts this on his feet. And she doesn't take a rag. She takes her hair and wipes it off. Now here's what I want you to understand, is that this is how she is worshiping Jesus Christ. And she is anointing him. And she may or may not get it, but she is anointing the Savior in preparation for his sacrifice. And here's the other thing that I need you to understand, is that her act, the act of one in the house who is worshiping Jesus Christ, I really need you to hear this, okay? The act of one who is genuinely, humbly, and without any kind of boundary worshiping Jesus Christ because of the amount of love that she has, the effect is that the entire house is filled with the smell of the oil. Now, here's what I need you to understand, is that if one person can get it right in your family and in your house, and you can truly worship Jesus Christ genuinely and humbly because of your love for him, you can feel the entire house, okay? And you can change people. And we don't need a huge amount of people to make a difference. We just need people who genuinely love and want to serve Jesus Christ. That's what we need in this world. We need people who understand who Jesus Christ is. And they can look past all the stuff that has happened to them and all the things that they're going through, and they can recognize Jesus Christ for who he truly is. And because they worship him and love him in the appropriate way, the entire house gets filled. Now that's an important point here. And we need people who can do that. Because Lord knows that we need our houses to get filled, man. We need it to happen. So genuinely, when I do the and I set these up, I try to end on a real happy note, okay? And try to arrange the scriptures so that end on a yay, okay, that kind of thing. But on this deal, I need you to understand that with all this going on here, and Mary loves and shows her love for Jesus in a very powerful way there, and with all the things going on here, and Martha serves, and the very existence of Lazarus there, all right, and there's so much to celebrate in this story, I need you to really come to understand the reality of the world that we live in, all right? And here's the deal. There are celebrations in this story and in this life. There are celebrations in this life as well. And here's what I really need you to understand, is that this life, and particularly the devil, will not let you celebrate very long, okay? Because as soon as you start to celebrate something, he's trying to punch you in the mouth. As soon as you think you got this world figured out, I'm going to tell you that your roof's going to blow off onto the neighbor's house and your tire's going to pass you up. One of your tires is, all right? Just stuff's just going to happen, all right? And that's just the way of life. And so the way that this story moves is that here we have this amazing scene here of this woman truly worshiping Jesus Christ because of her love for him and her adoration for him. And then it says there that, she's falling at his feet. And she has finally gotten to where she understands. And this is the same woman who fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I mean, she kind of understood who Jesus Christ was. But still yet, at this point, she doesn't understand him as the resurrection and the life. Okay? Now, she's going to. But back in chapter 11, she doesn't understand that. So this is a woman who has in just a short period of time, has really matured in her vision of who Jesus Christ is. All right? And unfortunately, Judas of Iscariot is also invited to this dinner, and he's at the table, and he sees what's going on. So he asks the question, why would you allow this fragrant oil to be poured onto your feet, Jesus? This is what he's asking. Why would you allow this to happen? Because this fragrant oil could have been sold for 300 denarii. And just so you know what that is that's about a working man's salary for a year. So this is pretty expensive stuff. And so he's asking the question, why would you allow this to just be poured onto your feet? You know, why wouldn't we save this and sell it so that we could help the poor? All right, and unfortunately, the Bible says that this dude doesn't care about the poor. But he's trying to figure out how he can get his hands on some of that money. And it says that, you know, he carried the money box. So Jesus Christ, and there's an HR sermon here somewhere. Jesus Christ had a treasurer who was a thief. Okay? So there's, I haven't figured that one out yet. Okay? Stay tuned. But that's what's going on here, is that Jesus and the disciples, they have a treasurer, and he's a thief. He's been stealing from him for years. And he shows his true colors here. Now listen, a lot of times when we deal in things like this, we show our true colors. Now we mask it up with, we could have helped the poor. But when you get into these situations, your true self will reveal itself. Okay? And so that's what's happening here. And Jesus just calls him out. He says, leave her alone. And here's what I need you to understand. He's making some points here. She has kept this for the day of my burial. And here's what he's saying. He is being anointed. Those feet are being anointed so that they can walk up the path to Golgotha and carry my cross and your cross, be nailed to it and die in our place. And that's what's happening here, is that she is anointing him so that he can go die. And it says that the poor will always be with you. You will always have the poor. Now, there's a lot to be said there, that there's always going to be people who struggle. There are always going to be people who don't have enough, okay? There are always going to be people who don't have enough because of people like Judas of Iscariot, because there are thieves and robbers out there. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that he is probably saying and saying to Judas here, okay? We will always have the poor, not in monetary terms, but in spiritual terms. We're always going to have the poor because of greed and selfishness and lust and not being able to get past yourself, not being able to see the truth because everything's colored in your own, you know, your own deficiencies. So you're always going to have the poor, whether it's with finances or with spiritual stuff, okay? And he says, but Christ won't always be here in body. And she's taking advantage of the limited time that she has. Now, there's a statement there too. Because we only have so many days, years, minutes, and seconds in this world. And we waste a lot of it. And what I want to tell you is, take advantage of the time that you have left on this earth. Take advantage of the time that your loved ones have left on this earth. Because you only have so much time, and that clock never ticks. When I was selling pharmaceuticals one time, I was in a doctor's office, and I was going to call on this guy, and they put me in a patient room. That was the process there. They put you in a patient room, and he would go down the line, and he would get to you. And I'd been in there for a while, and I was like looking at my watch, like, man, what is this? My watch, right? I looked up, and the clock in the room, It was ticking, but that second hand never moved. And time was literally standing still. And I was like, is this a joke or are they playing with me here? Okay. But here's what I'm telling you is that time does not stand still. In fact, it moves and it moves pretty quickly. And we only have so many opportunities. We only have so many opportunities to impact people. And we only have so many opportunities to share our love and Jesus' love through us. And here's what I really need you to understand is that we only have so many opportunities with those kids and these kids to make the impact of Jesus' love on them. And we have to take advantage of it. Because if we let any opportunity slide by, then that's on us. And I promise you, we'll have to answer for that one day. So time is ticking. And here's what you really need to understand. And here's what we're pulling out of this story today. Is that it does matter what you do. And here's the other thing. It does matter why you do what you do. And the Bible tells us that not only is it important that you do things to serve others, but that you do it with love. And not just love, but love for Jesus Christ. And you're saying to yourself right now, well, yeah, these people, you know, why wouldn't they love Jesus? Why wouldn't they show him this and that? Okay, why wouldn't they have a dinner in his honor? Because, you know, he brought their brother back from the dead. But I'm here to tell you that if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ has brought you back from the dead. And it's time that we appropriately seat Jesus at the guest honor's head of the table seat. And that everything that we do is to celebrate and glorify the proper resurrection, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that resurrection means everything to me and you. And so as we're leading up to Easter, I need you to really and truly look at your relationship with Jesus Christ and ask yourself, do I see him appropriately in the right way? And do I show and have the right kind of love? Because here's what Mary got. Her love for Jesus outweighed any kind of monetary amount you could put on it. She got it right in this story. So ask yourself this. Are we properly glorifying Jesus Christ with our worship and our love and our adoration? And as we prepare ourselves for Easter, this is an important step. Because here's the deal. Jesus Christ is going to get up. He's going to turn towards Jerusalem. And those anointed feet are going to start walking towards Golgotha. And that's a great thing for you and me. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. This is an amazing story. And there's a lot of parts to it. And I don't know if you allowed yourself to kind of tell yourself the truth. Which character do you reflect in this story? But here's the big takeaway. Sometimes we have these celebrations and sometimes we have these victories in our life. And the guest of honor is the wrong dude, the wrong person. When we have victories in our lives, the guest of honor is always Jesus Christ. And what I also need you to understand is that everything that we do in this life should be because of our love for Jesus Christ. That's a total different kind of serving. There is a selfish kind of way to serve where you look to get glorification for you. And then there is true service when you do it not for self, but for glorification of Jesus Christ. That has more impact than you could ever imagine the other way. So we just need to come together as a church and just prepare our hearts and our minds as we head towards Easter and make sure that we are getting these priorities and these things in the proper way. So we come to the altar for a lot of reasons. You may have something slamming you in the face right now, and I'm telling you, let's come up and pray about it. You may have something looking at you and you're unsure about it. You got some anxiety about it. Let's come up and let's pray about it. You may have a victory that you need to celebrate. Let's come up and give Jesus Christ the glorification for that victory. And you may just be status quo, neither up nor down. And let's just come up and let's just praise God for all the many blessings and prepare us for the days that come ahead. And then if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, come up and make the best decision that you will ever make and take Him as your Savior this morning. I open up the altars to you. Sure.